Okay, so I wanted to talk this evening a little bit about what we call bedikas tola'im, or checking for insects. We'll speak about fruit because that pertains to Tu B'Shvat, which is coming up. But we'll speak, you know, globally a little bit more about insect infestation in general, and with, you know, some vegetables and things like that as well, which are all important issues. It's interesting to keep in mind whenever we talk about the concept of insect infestation, that if a person, you know, Rachman Litzlan, eats pork, right? A person, Rachman Litzlan, eats pork. So what do they violate? They violate a lo saaseh. They violate a negative commandment, negative precept in the Torah. A person's not allowed to eat pork. It's not a kosher animal. And they violate one lo saaseh, one lav, which is terrible. However, when it comes to ingesting insects, writes the Gemara in Maseches Makos, which is source number one, not numbered, but it's source number one, writes the Gemara in Maseches Makos, Amar Abaye, Ochal Putisa, which is a certain type of bug that hung out in the water or something like that, Loke Arba'a, you get four sets of Malkos. You violate four different lavin for eating one little bug. Right? So pork is one lav. This little bug, Sheretz Hamayim, is four lavin. Continues the Gemara, Nemala, an ant, which is an insect that crawls upon the ground, which the Torah refers to as Sheretz Haaretz. There are different categories in the Torah of Shratzim, of different types of insects. That's a Sheretz Haaretz. Writes the Gemara, Loke Chamesh. You get five sets of Malkos. Mishum Sheretz HaShoretz Al Haaretz, because you have the additional Sheretz HaShoretz Al Haaretz. Tzira, which is a flying type of insect, you know, some sort of fly or mosquito or something like that that flies around, lokeshesh, then you get six sets of malkos. Why mishum sheretz ha'of? Because you have an additional violation, an additional prohibition of a flying insect. And I put in this box here, if you look, I put in this box the psukim, where we learn all of these lavin from. So first of all, the first couple of lines where it says kol shratzim, that's really the first and the second lav. There, it's in the same pasuk. Al tishaktu es nafsho seichem b'chol asheretz hashoreitz. That's number one. Right, that a person, you can't disgust yourself, make yourself disgusting by eating these insects. And then number two, v'lo sitam ubahem v'nitmeisem b'men. Don't make yourself impure by ingesting these insects. So here you have two lavin in the same pasuk. Then when it comes to the Sheretz Hamayim, you have two additional lavin, three and four. One is from the same parsha in same parak in Parsha Shmini. V'chol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses bayamim uvanacholim mikol Sheretz Hamayim u'mikol nefesh hachayah asher b'mayim sheket seim lochem. That anything that does not have the regular signs of a kosher fish, it doesn't have scales and fins, so that thing is considered impure. It's considered a tameh, and you can't eat it. So if you have some sort of a creature that swims in the water, and you ingest that creature, and it's not one of the, it doesn't have these signs, then you violate an additional lo saaseh. And then in source number four, the same thing. B'kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses. This is in Parashas Re'eh where it's repeated. Lo sochelu tameh hulachem. You can't eat it. You can't ingest it. Sheretz Haaretz, you see there, there's an additional, right, there it has its own three and four. Though again, the one and two are the same general prohibitions for all types of insects. And then Sheretz Hamayim has its two individuals. And then Sheretz Haaretz has its two. V'chala Sheretz HaShoretz Al Haaretz Sheketz Ulachem. Number four, which is also from, these are both from Parsha Shmini. Kol Holech Al Gachon V'chol Holech Al Arba Ad Kol Marbe Raglayim, any type of creature that crawls along the ground, that whether it has four legs or it has many legs, you can't ingest them. Number five, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, skipping till the end, velosi tamus nafshosechem b'chol asheretz haromei salaretz. And again, don't make yourself impure by ingesting these shiratzim. And then finally, number six, which is the sheretz ha'of, and the reason why the sheretz ha'of only has an additional one is because most flying insects also walk, right? They also crawl upon the ground. So you have all the violations of the Sheretz Haaretz, just like the creepy crawlies, just like the insects that crawl upon the ground. And then you have the additional lav for the flying insect. V'chol Sheretz Ha'ov, Tamehu Lachem, lo ye'achelu, sheretz ha'of, which is this flying insect, is considered impure and you may not eat it. So it's pretty serious. Now, it's pretty serious. Here, like I said, you have, on the one hand, you have pork, which you only violate one prohibition. And pork, you know, you wouldn't be able to pay any Jew to eat pork. You know, chas v'shalom, to eat pork is a treif. And when it comes to insects, you know, we're not as careful. We're not as careful, you know, to ensure that the produce that we eat is insect free.
If one ant is four or two ants eight, or once you're in the ant category, because if you have infestation,
right, it's a little right, tiny creatures. Right. So I think it depends. It's a good question. Not 100% sure offhand. It's a good question. It might be eight. It might be eight. It might be eight. I'm not 100% sure.
Aren't Jews concerned about ingesting?
Okay, so that's a good question.
For obvious reasons?
Right. So that's a good question. So since you asked that question, if you turn to the second side of the page, I just took this, this, if you look at the top, so this is a screenshot of a page off the FDA's website. Okay, the FDA's website, I should have put the exact website here, but basically the FDA has a list of, and I found this reference in this, there's an unbelievable sefer by Rav Moshe Vey, okay, which is actually, I think he spells it Veg in English, you know, where there's a couple of Vegs here in town, but he's Israeli, Rav Moshe Vey, and he's like he's the bug expert in the world, you know, he's like the world-renowned bug expert in terms of checking produce. So in this sefer, which you know is a halachic sefer, but you have a lot of science, a lot of different charts and pictures of different insects, and one of the things he brings is this. I was blown away by this. One of the things he brings here is a chart from the FDA, from the United States Department of Agriculture. This is just a bigger kind of like the whole page of it, but this is a screenshot. I actually went onto their website today and I found this little snippet here. But it's basically what the FDA terms the food defect action levels, which means, and I'll just read for you, I'll just read a little bit of what they write here. This is from the United States Department of Agriculture. This is what we're all eating each and every day. The food defect action levels contained in this list are set on the basis of no hazard to health. That's their main concern, no hazard to health. Any products that might be harmful to consumers are acted against on the basis of their hazard to health. We don't allow them, etc., etc. The action levels are set because it is not now possible, and never has been possible, to grow in open fields, harvest, and process crops that are totally free of natural defects. Right? We're growing crops in the world. You're going to be subject to some natural defects. The alternative to establishing natural defect levels in some foods would be to insist on increased utilization of chemical substances to control insects, rodents, and other natural contaminants. The alternative is not satisfactory, writes the FDA, because of the very real danger of exposing consumers to potential hazards from residues of these chemicals, as opposed to the aesthetically unpleasant but harmless natural and unavoidable defects. Okay? Now, what are some of these harmless, natural, and unavoidable defects? Okay, so if you look at the screenshot from their website, this is spinach canned or frozen. Okay, canned or frozen spinach. I'm not talking about Bodek. I'm not talking about the Jewish brands. I'm talking about you walk into a Stop and Shop, a Waldbounds, and you buy a regular can of spinach or frozen spinach. Insects and mites. Okay, writes the FDA. Average of 50 or more aphids, thrips, and or mites per 100 grams. Okay, which means that when the testing reveals that level of infestation, that's when you have to take action. That's when something has to be done. Which means anything less than that is fine. It's fine. Again, as in their language, harmless, natural, and unavoidable defect. I'm sorry, aesthetically unpleasant, but harmless, natural, and unavoidable defects. This is what they call it. You know, he brings in his safer other ones, you know, asparagus, canned or frozen. The defect is insect filth. 10% by count of spears or pieces are infested with six or more attached asparagus beetle eggs and or sacs. Okay, so if you look at the science, right, it's kind of like makes you a little uneasy. But if you look at the science, there's a lot of infestation out there, and like they write, you know, they don't want to, you know, just keep spraying pesticides and insecticides and all these things, because those are potentially harmful to people's health. So they'd much rather, you know, try to go at it in a more natural way. And if there's a few bugs, there's a few bugs, you know, and what people don't know or what they can't see won't hurt them. You know, and if people find bugs, they find bugs, you know, but generally, I think that most, you know, Gentiles, I don't know, you know, certainly in a restaurant setting, you know, they're not looking that carefully, because once the food is prepared and once the food is cooked, the chances of you finding something are slim to none, even if they were there to begin with. So even in a home, even in a residential kitchen, generally they wash the things, and they're small. These things are small. They're visible, but they're small. And I feel like, you know, just a lot of times people just don't look, and, you know, don't look, don't tell. And if they find something, they find something, and they, you know, they discard that piece. But otherwise, they're not bothered by these things. The problem is that for us, it's not just about the aesthetically unpleasant but harmless issues. And, you know, but it's for us, they're really surim. You know, for us, we're talking about los ases. We had that whole list on the first side of the page. You know, for us, these are real issues, and we really have to ensure that our produce is not infested. So that's why, although in the outside world they might be concerned with it, they're not as concerned as we are. You know, they're not as concerned as
so
we
if
are.
If you buy something like Poldek, then that's okay?
Yes. So if you're willing to spend the money, and you buy something like Bodek, so Bodek grows their, I believe, I didn't do research in terms of the Jewish companies and how exactly they produce their produce, but I believe that Bodek is greenhouse grown, I think, which is why it's so expensive. Since it's greenhouse grown, when something is grown in a greenhouse, so then the infestation can be controlled, because it's they put the necessary precautions in place that the insects can't infiltrate the greenhouse. So things that are greenhouse grown, and you have like a hashgacha, you know, you have, you know, rabbanim who are ensuring that the produce does not become infested, so then you don't have to worry. And that's how Bodek can sell all sorts of produce which they grow, and they're able to do it. So you know, if it's grown in that way, then it's okay. You know, the other alternative, and they have we'll talk some more about these issues, but you know, now what's becoming more popular is that in all the frum supermarkets, you know, you have Seasons and you have Gourmet Glot, where they sell pre-checked produce. So instead of you, the consumer, having to, number one, learn the halachos of how to check and, you know, what to look for, what not to look for, you know, et cetera, but they have rabbanim who are trained, who are, you know, well-trained in this area, and they'll check your produce for you, and you pay more for it, obviously. But then you don't have to worry. You'll buy the prepackaged, pre-checked produce, and you have nothing to worry about. So in Gourmet Glad, you can buy nearly, you know, almost anything, you know, pre-checked. You know, they have, we'll talk about some of the things. But now, this has been an issue. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I didn't grow up with this. You know, I never heard about this. How all of a sudden, you know, where'd the bugs come from? The bugs never were here. You know, all of a sudden we have bugs. So in reality, it's not really the case. If you look through Mishnayos and Gemara, there's many discussions of infested produce and what to do with produce when it's infested and how to avoid infestation. You know, the issue of insect infestation is not a new issue. I think that if at a certain point in our history, I think we as a community kind of neglected this particular prohibition. Things do change, and that's important to keep in mind, that things do change depending on conditions and depending on climate and, all sorts of different factors. So things can change in terms of the facts on the ground. And that's why you'll find that even though there are certain things that are accepted here, in Israel, they're not accepted, for example. Because in Israel, there are certain things that there's a higher rate of infestation than we have here in America. And in fact, I believe he has in this book, if not in this book, he has in another book. Maybe it's not in here, but there's a whole guide where they identify all different types of fruits and vegetables and, you know, natural produce, and they have markings as to whether this is considered infested in America, in Israel, in Canada. You know, they have different they don't have all the countries, obviously, but they have, I think, America, Israel, and Canada. I think those three countries. You know, and you know, research has been done to determine what the general infestation levels of these things are. So you can have, you know, things can change depending on the country, depending on even the time, depending on the era and the conditions and the climate and things like that. You know, insect infestation can certainly change, but it has been around for a long time. There are many chuvos throughout the generations. We have a lot of literature about these issues. It's not something that's new that's come on the scene. Yes, very good. We'll get to that. Correct. We'll get to that. That's a good, very good point. So take a look. A very, very interesting source that I saw quoted. I looked it up. It was really fascinating. The Ben Ish Chai writes in source number 2. So he's writing about insect infestation, and he's writing about this issue is he says it's this is kind of like a little bit of a Musar paragraph to try to encourage people to be careful, to be zealous about checking for insects. And he writes, Yizaru hanashim bebedikas hachazeres vehakarpas. He says women should be careful when they're preparing food. He says women just because probably most of the women were the ones preparing the food. But the same would apply to men. Should be careful to check the lettuce and the karpas. Karpas is some sort of parsley or whatever. I mean, everybody has different minhagim at the Seder, what they use for karpas. But greens, essentially, right? We have leafy greens. Those are really the most subject to insect infestation because there's many places where the insects can hide. You have an apple, you know, it's very limited where you can have insects hiding. You might have a worm that bored its way into the apple, but otherwise, you know, it's not really much room for insects. When you have a head of romaine lettuce, you know, there's plenty of hiding spaces for little creatures in there. So he says you have to be very careful. As we said, each little bug that you ingest has, assuming it's a sheretz ha'aretz, you have 5 sets of malkos for ingesting these bugs. He says, this responsibility falls on the Baala Sabayis. She's preparing the food, she's serving her family, her guests. It's her achrayis to make sure that which she's serving, just like she would ensure that she's buying kosher meat and that she's buying something with a reliable hechsher, she also has to make sure that the produce that she's providing is insect-free. Everybody's relying on her for this. And if she's not careful about checking, he says, Rachman al-Itzlan, it could be that everybody at the table are ingesting insects, and all these chiyuv malkios are all on her. They're on her shoulders. It's all her responsibility. Bifrat b'hios b'nei abayis merubin. Certainly, if you have a case where you have a large family or you have many guests over, uvimkomos elu shatolaim ketanim mitzuyim harbi b'yirokos, and especially in a location where you have a high level of insect infestation. Ma'ase b'chach hamecher. He tells a story. There was once a sage who was walking shenichnas b'erev Pesach lechatzer echad. Erev Pesach, he once walked into into a courtyard, a shared courtyard with several houses. And he sees this woman in the courtyard with these 2 baskets full of lettuce, maror and romaine lettuce, full of lettuce. She's checking lettuce. So she's washing and she's quickly, just taking a quick glance. She washes, taking a quick glance, and then throws it to the side. And in his estimation, she's not really doing due diligence. She's not doing such a great job checking for insects. You can't check that quickly. They're very small. You have to look very carefully. So fascinating conversation. So the wise person says to her, how many hairs are on your head? She says, I have no idea. I haven't counted my hairs. I wouldn't even be able to count them. There's so many hairs. So Amar La Saros Roshech Efshar Lehimanos. He says, no, you're wrong. You can count the hairs on your head. It's possible. It might take you a long time, but it's possible. Achiyuv Hamalkios Hashem Betzavarech Efshar Lehimanos. But the number of malkos that you are, being machshil, you're causing others to stumble and ingest these insects. Those, that number of malchus, that you're not even going to be able to count that. So Amra lo, ma esa. She says, well, what should I do? B'nei abayis merubin v'rotzin lechol chazeres harbe. I have a lot of guests, and they like romaine lettuce. What am I supposed to do? Kiarav kiarav lahem. So he said to her, tshuva zu lo satzilech biyom adin. He says, that's not going to help you on judgment day. That excuse is not going to help you on, when you get up to Shemayim la'asid lavo, that excuse is not going to, had a lot of company. They like lettuce. It's not going to help you. So this is, it's a little bit sharp, this conversation. But it's, I don't know if it's factual or fictional.
So what has to be checked? All the
factual? Okay, so that's good. Good. Good question. So let's see. So what exactly has to be checked? Okay, good. So first of all, as Stephen mentioned before, it's only things that are visible, right? Only things that are visible to the naked eye, okay? The Aruch HaShulchan writes this on the second side of the page in source number 4. He writes, Shamati, I heard, Shebechol minei mayim. He says, all water from any source, ubiyichud b'megish shamim, and certainly rainwater, mole beruim dakim. He says it's full of creatures. Full of different tiny insects. Water is just full of it. She'ein ha'ayin yicholo lirosa, but they're not visible to the naked eye. Ubialdusi shamati mipi echad. He says, when I was young, I heard from someone, shehaya b'merchakim, who lived far away, v'ra derech sechuchis hamegadeles, and he looked with a microscope. He looked at a sample of water or a magnifying glass. And he saw ad meod kirivavos pa'amim b'mayim kol amine bruim. And he saw all these things crawling around in the water. Right? You look through a microscope, there's tons of things crawling around in the water. Ulefize, eichanu shosim mayim. So he says, how are we allowed to drink? Right? We have all these lavin in the Torah. You're not allowed to ingest, sheretz hamayim. And here we have our waters full of sheretz hamayim. Sharei elu abruim nisavu b'mekoro. Amnam ha'emes, but he says, no, in truth, the Torah did not prohibit that which we cannot see with our naked eye. Not prohibited. The lo nitna Torah lemalachim, because the Torah wasn't given to angels. The Torah was given to human beings. We can only ensure that our food is insect free if there are insects that we can see. But if there are insects that are not visible to the naked eye, so then we're not responsible for that. It's not right that wasn't included in the Torah's prohibition. The Torah was given to normal human beings.
But when the Torah was given, there was no ability to see things at the microscopic level.
That's also true. That's also true, right? Again, you have to do some research and find out when the magnifying glass was first invented, and when people had the ability to first magnify things. But you're right. But even so, even if that's the case, the Torah didn't prohibit that. The Torah did not intend for us to be, searching for things that we can't see with our naked eye. We're not obligated to use instruments to try to find these bugs. Tim Lokain, he says, if that's not the case, he says, sometimes some scientists tell me that the air is full of small little creatures flying around. You have little tiny bugs, flying everywhere. Every time you open your mouth, you're swallowing some little microscopic bugs. He says, no, he says, it's from a halachic perspective, we don't care. It's a moot point. Even if it's true, since we can't see them, they're insignificant from a halachic perspective. Omnam, he says, however, you have to be careful. He says, but if they are visible to the naked eye, even if you have to look in the sunlight and even if they're very small, but if they're visible to the naked eye, it's a sheretz, it's an insect, and you have to be careful and you can't ingest it. Right? So he says that, again, microscopic we're not worried about. But if things are not microscopic, if they are visible, then you have to be concerned.
They make special lights.
Yeah.
I mean, are we required to do that?
Okay, so not necessarily. Just tell you, I remember when I was in Yeshiva University, that's when the whole, I believe the word is copepod, right? That's when the whole copepod scandal erupted. that people were finding bugs in New York City water. Right? New York City water. If you remember, when this whole thing happened, you know, years ago. And Baruch Hashem, Nassau County, we have very clean water. We don't have to worry about copepods. But in New York City, they have these copepods. And I still remember being in the Beis Medrash in YU, and at that time he was a person who was learning in the Kollel. Now he's a big Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Josh Flug, and he writes many many articles about the halachic topics. And I still remember him bringing a cup of water into the Beis Medrash and showing Rav Herschel Schechter, showing the, you know, and the whole crowd gathering around, and they were looking at it. And the thing with the copepods and the argument about the copepods was that they were visible to the naked eye. That was why they were problematic, right? Of course, you know, things that are microscopic we're not worried about. But the problem with the copepods is that if you looked closely, you saw them with the naked eye. And that's what I remember. I still remember them looking at this glass of water in the Beis Medrash, that you can actually see these things that are floating around in your water. So if that's the case, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. You have to be careful. That's a real insect. Now, you know, but again, you know, you have to. It's only New York City water, and it's not Nassau County water, and all the restaurants now that are in New York City and Brooklyn and Queens, they all have filtered water. They have filters and they have bottled water. I remember when I moved to Staten Island, I was concerned about this. Staten Island is New York City, so I spoke with the Rabbi Lehrfeld, who's the rabbi of the shul in Staten Island, and I asked him about the copepod situation. So he said that there was a marine biologist who davened in the shul. And he decided he's going to do testing. And he tested the water. And he found the water to be clean. Right? For some reason, in Staten Island, you know, that was the one exception of the boroughs of New York. Staten Island did not have copepods in the water. He said that the only time they found them was like after like a very big storm. You know, occasionally they would find them floating around in the water. But otherwise, you know, the Staten Island water was clean. So it's very interesting. You know, again, these things can change, even just based on, you know, where the water's coming from and the water supply. And that's why it's important to know the facts on the ground and to really try to clarify these things. Okay, so now the question is, what do we have to check? Do we have to check everything, right? Well, what exactly do we have to check? So the rules are as follows. Here are the rules. Right, the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5. Kol minei peiros shedarkan lehaslia. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is that any time you have fruit, that it's normal for it to be infested, right? It's likely that it's infested. Kishahei mechubarim, while they're attached to the ground, either on the tree, on the bush, whatever the case might be. Lo yochal ad sheyivdo kapri mitocho shema yesh bo tolas. You may not eat the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You cannot eat that fruit if it's something that's likely infested. You cannot eat the fruit until you do an inspection. Right, and especially if you suspect that it's infested inside the fruit, you have to open up the fruit and check inside to make sure it's not infested. So what exactly does this mean that it's darkan lahaslia, that it's likely that it's infested? What level, you know, how do we get to that point where it's likely that it's infested? So the Shach writes that in a case he's quoting, which we'll see in a little bit, he's quoting an Isser Veheter in source number 6. We'll see it actually the whole thing here, but he writes that pratiyim b'medina shehuchzeku bekach have a vaday velo safek. He says if you have something that is, you know, it's assumed to be infested, there are certain things that are assumed to be infested, right? That's, you know, it's bad. The infestation is bad with these products. So if it's assumed to be infested, it's not considered a safek. It's not even considered that it's a doubt, maybe it's infested or not. We assume it's infested. They're becheskas mitulayim, right? We assume that it's infested, and therefore a bedika is required, right? You have to do a bedika. You have to do a check, a visual check, before you do it. Not only that, but the Shachin source number 7 writes, it's clear from what he's writing, that it's considered an issa doraisa, right? You can't eat unchecked fruit. If you eat unchecked fruit, I mean, not just fruit, but fruit, vegetables, whatever the case is, if it's assumed to be infested, and you're eating unchecked fruit, unchecked produce, so then that's an issur d'oraisa. You can't do that, right? If it's a ischazak isura, we assume that it's infested. Things that are not as infested, okay? So, for example, he writes that that if it's let's say it's something that is occasionally infested. But it's not, you know, you don't have to, it's not at the level where you have to assume it's always infested. It's occasionally infested. So that type of thing is what they call, it's what they call a miut hamatzoi. That if you have a minority of the produce is infested. But it's a minority, it's a sizable minority. You know, it's not, we're not talking, you know, 2% of the produce. It's, you know, whatever the percentage is. It's a sizable minority. So then also it's required, you have to check it. Because, you know, you assume that, that there might be something there, and therefore you have to check. It's not quite at the level of assumed infestation, which would be considered a vada. This is a suffix, right? This is a doubt. But it's a doubt that, you know, you're playing with fire. These are yisurei d'oraisa, so you have to be careful, and you have to go ahead and check the produce. If it's something that you know is assumed to be uninfested, there are some things that we know are assumed to be uninfested, so then those things you can eat them without checking whatsoever. And that's why we don't have any requirement to check apples and oranges and things like that. You know, we don't have to check for infestation. You assume it's not infested. If you bite into an apple and you see a worm, okay, so that apple is infested. You know, you have to cut out the worm, or you're probably just going to throw out the whole apple. At that point, you're probably going to be so disgusted. But you don't generally assume that apples are infested. If you see a hole in the apple, so then you cut it open and see what's going on inside. But otherwise, you don't assume those things to be infested. The Chachmas Adam in source number 8 in the Binas Adam writes that even if you have a case where it's something that is assumed to be uninfested, but nevertheless that type of thing, if you begin to find, you know, insects, you know, I'm eating apples. It happens to be this whole batch of apples. I see, you know, this whole bushel of apples. You know, I'm taking one apple after the other. They seem to be infested. So then, once you find three examples of infestation, then you have to be concerned and you have to assume that the whole thing is infested unless you check all of them. So something like that, it could happen. It can happen in those types of things. So we're not going to go through a precise list of which things do and which things don't. All I'll tell you is that many of the kashrus agencies, for example, the CRC out of Chicago, which is an excellent agency, they have lists. You know, of vegetables, you go onto their website, they have a whole list of vegetables, which vegetables, you know, need to be checked, which vegetables don't need to be checked, how to check the vegetables. The OK, also has a list of vegetable checking list. In fact, both of those agencies have apps that you can download onto your phone. The CRC has an app and the OK has an app, and both of them contain vegetable checking guides. They have on, you can do it on your phone. Vegetable checking guides, look up the vegetable, tells you exactly, you know, whether you have to be concerned, you don't have to be concerned, whatever the case is. But, you know, many of the kashrus agencies have these lists nowadays. And again, these are things that you have to know the facts on the ground. You have to do the research and find out, you know, what's infested, what's likely, what's assumed to be infested, what's potentially infested, and what's, you know, assumed to be uninfested. You know, those three categories are the things that that the kashrus agencies have done a lot of work on to try to to get to the bottom of what exactly is and is not infested. I printed out just for myself. I'm going to send this out to the shul, but I didn't send this out yet to the shul. I don't believe, right? I'm going to send this out to the shul. This is the Star K, which is, you know, in my mind, one of the premier kashrus agencies in the country. Sent this out. I'm on their email list. They sent out. It's a Tu B'Shvat checking guide. Tu B'Shvat checking guide. And here they have a guide of how to check fruits, what needs to be checked and what does not need to be checked. For example, on this list, you see it says raisins, apricots, and nuts. No checking is required. You know, at least, again, this is America. I don't know, you know, Israel, things might be a little bit different. You have to consult the Israeli authorities because obviously the facts on the ground might change there. But when it comes to these things, it's no checking is required. They do mention that you should buy quality brands. You know, sometimes if you buy an off-brand, you know, then you never know what you might find inside. And you also have to make sure that things are properly sealed and stored properly. Things that are not, that are stored improperly, you know, even if it's something that normally does not require checking and we don't assume to be infested, sometimes when things are stored improperly, they become infested. So that's why you have to be careful how they're stored. Grapes also, there's no checking required. Just rinse them well. Make sure sometimes, you know, you can have dirt or schmutz or bugs on the outside. Just rinse them off well. Strawberries, you know, many people are familiar with the fact that strawberries sometimes are infested, especially towards the top around that green leafy area, but even on the sides of them. It's not difficult to clean strawberries. They have to be cleaned, but it's not difficult. You just wash them with soap, you know, and there's instructions here. And all the kashrus agencies have these instructions. Pineapple here also, they just say you have to peel it properly, that's all. Sometimes you can find bugs, mites in particular, in the crown and in the outer rind. So if it's not peeled properly, then you have to be concerned. But you know it should be peeled until only the yellow fruit is visible, and then you should be fine. In terms of pineapple, they do mention the dates and figs and carobs. You know, most people are not eating too many carobs, you know, but some people might like them. But dates and figs, which are certainly popular, dry dates and figs, so those do require visual checking because they, again, we don't assume them to be infested, but they can be infested. Those kind of things. So they say, you know, exactly how to check them. You have to open them up and look for holes or webbing or insects in a sample of the fruit. If you find it, so then you have to be more concerned, obviously, if you find one or two insects. By the way, I'll just mention that I have done a lot of checking in my life, you know, especially with romaine lettuce. You know, in my house, I do the checking. I happen to have bought a light box, you know, which makes it easier. You don't have to. You can hold it up to the light. You know, they didn't have light boxes, you know, 100 years ago. But light boxes make it easier because you just put the piece of lettuce on top of the light box and the light shines right through the lettuce and it's very easy to see if anything is there. But I have found many bugs throughout the course of my lifetime of checking, you know, whether I was single, checking my father's house before Pesach, or even, you know, in being married and checking, you know, just for a regular salad for Shabbos. So, you know, there are insects. They exist. You know, green ones, black ones, I found everything. And some are, you know, sometimes they're worse than others, and sometimes you have a clean batch and you don't find anything, but very often you do find things. It's interesting, many people don't realize, but raspberries and blackberries are assumed to be infested. They're at a very high level of infestation, and the way that most kashrus agencies report when it comes to these items is that checking requires specialized training or is not practical. So either you have to buy, you know, pre-checked, you know, or a Bodek or something like that, or pre-checked, you know, blackberries or raspberries by people who have, you know, excellent training, or, you know, just avoid them. I just avoid them, you know, completely. But people don't realize they're delicious. But you have to be careful, and and make sure they're not infested yet.
What about, you know, you eat animals?
Right.
Animals may have eaten.
Okay, so you know, once things are ingested and they're digested and they're you know, incorporated in the bloodstream, it's everything is butthole at that point. You know, I was going to get into that. We don't have time to do it. maybe next week we'll talk about some of these issues also in terms of cooking and things like that. You know, and bittul and blending and you know, there's some interesting you know, halachos. But once it's at that stage, you know, we don't have to be concerned that there are any real bug concerns. One thing I'll just, and with this we'll conclude, one thing just as a little pat us on the back here in the five towns, that the supermarkets that we have here, in terms of Gourmet Glad and Seasons, you know, and you know there might be others, but those are the two big ones that I'm familiar with, have excellent reputations for checking for insects. Now they charge you, you know, when you buy the pre-checked produce, because the mashkichim are spending, but they have mashkichim whose entire job it is just to check vegetables for insects, and they're specially trained to do this. In fact, I know someone in the community who owns a restaurant in Brooklyn. Owns a restaurant in Brooklyn, and they're under some hechsher in Brooklyn, in Hashgacha in Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Hashgacha requires them to buy their lettuce at Gourmet Glot here in the Five Towns and bring it with them to Brooklyn because they feel that the checking, the bedikas tolaim, the checking that's done in the Five Towns at these supermarkets is on such a high level that it's worth it for them to require that to bring from the Five Towns to Brooklyn. So like I said, it's expensive, you have to pay for it, but certainly we have a very high standard, Baruch Hashem, of kashrus when it comes to bedikas tolaim here in the Five Towns.
Rabbi Eisen happened to have written a
pamphlet on bedikas tolaim, yeah. I think also when Rabbi Eisen was in the OU, I think he may have been involved in it, I'm not 100% sure, but Baruch Hashem, we have good people here. So we'll stop here. Maybe next week we'll pick up some of the other applications of this.